This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
809, it is something to see these bonfires that they have. St. James Sheriff Claude Lewis joins us now to talk about access and egress, how to get there and how to enjoy them. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you? Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning. Merry Christmas to you as well, sir.
Thank you for taking the time with us. Let's make it user-friendly, if we can, for people that are coming from New Orleans. What's the best way, if I'm coming from New Orleans and or anybody else, and a West Bank, East Bank, and they want to go see the bonfires in St. James Parish, what's the best way to do it?
Yes, sir. If you're coming from New Orleans, best bet would be to take I-10 west from New Orleans and then exit the Gramercy exit. From there, follow it all the way to the Highway 44, which is going to be the River Roads, where all of the bonfires are located on the levees that we have in our parish. Once you're on Highway 44, you can take it all the way down to Highway 642. You'll be able to make right-hand turns from that way and just enjoy the safety of the deputies that will be along the route to help you along your route.
What about parking, Sheriff? Is there parking along the levee, or where do people park?
There will be minimal parking along the River Road, the levee side. Most of the parking that you could go to would be by the hospital, East St. James Hospital, or you could go to the Lutcher Park, and it's a nice little walk. But we got some lovely weather tonight, so just come out and enjoy. Please be safe, and if you're walking up the levees, please ensure you walk instead of running for any accidents to happen.
No, tell me about what people should not bring, or can they bring a drink or not? I don't know what the laws are.
Some of the areas, the mayors of both Gramercy and Lutcher have signed off on those open containers. The bonfires will be lit at 7 p.m. and should be out about 9:30 p.m.
When you say signed off on open containers, meaning you'll be able to walk with an open container or you won't?
You will be.
You will be. Okay. Because it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Just have somebody have a designated driver and be safe.
Yes, most definitely.
So if I'm going, and you said that, what was the hospital? East?
You have the St. James Parish Hospital as a large parking area. You also have several churches in the area that have large parking lots. We ask that they please be mindful of the parking areas along the roadway of Highway 44. Some of the landowners have taped off their property.
How spaced out are these bonfires if I wanted to start? So if I'm going, I guess, east to west, I would start where to see the first one?
Oh, the first one would be right there underneath the by the Veterans Bridge on Highway 44. And from there, it stretches about 5 to 6 miles all the way to Paulina, Louisiana, Convent.
That'd be a pretty good walk, but how spaced apart are they, I guess, what I'm saying? Can you walk on top of the levee and see these?
Yes, you could. And if you wanted to travel the entire length, it would be about 5 to 6 miles of bonfires from Gramercy all the way to Gramercy, Lutcher, Paulina, and Convent. If you want to stay in your vehicle and take a slow drive to watch those bonfires.
And they're all on the East Bank?
East Bank, and we have some on the West Bank. That would be your Vachery and St. James area.
Right.
But our East Bank has a lot more bonfires.
And about how spaced apart are they? It looks like the major concentration would be between, like, Gramercy and maybe Paulina?
Yes, sir. They're probably spaced about maybe 20, 30 feet apart, if that.
Oh, well, there you go. Sheriff, thank you. I appreciate the time and the insight and the directions, and I hope everybody goes out and has a good, safe time, you and your staff and the whole St. James Parish. Merry Christmas to y'all.
Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Same to you, sir. 8:13, we'll take a break, come back, talk to, well, not a sheriff, but a former superintendent of NOPD, head of the Washington State Police, head of Nashville City Police, Ronald Surpass, as we discuss crime here on WWL. 8:17 on this Christmas Eve morning, joined by our friend Ronald Surpass, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, now a professor at Loyola, a professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola. A lot of years as a police officer, a lot of years in law enforcement. Merry Christmas, Chief.
Merry Christmas, Tommy. I wish the best to you and yours.
And we wish you the best, too. We really do appreciate your time. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, as a law enforcement officer and a lifelong guy, a guy that's committed his life to law enforcement, do the holidays mean anything to you in terms of crime awareness that other times of year don't? Where it's kind of like, I make the analogy of a carpenter sometimes, it's hard to look at a house without seeing studs behind the walls, where that kind of is like you with the holidays and crime?
I think it might be opposite. Thinking through it for a second after you asked, looking back on all the years I served during Christmas, it seemed like it was a lighter spirit. It was a lighter time. People were a bit more collegial to one another, even in neighborhoods where you thought there might have been issues. Pretty quickly, you know, people who are going to be criminal, it doesn't matter what time of the day or week they're criminal, but it does matter that they don't want to get caught. And during Christmas, there just seems to be more of a feeling of camaraderie and brothership and sistership and friendship. Hey, that's about as 10,000 foot as you can get. But in the three states I worked at Christmas, it always seemed just a little better.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to preponderance of crime, there are always, unfortunately, sharks circling looking to take advantages. What can people do this holiday season to keep themselves safe?
Be thoughtful, be thought provoking. You know, the biggest safety risk we face during holidays like this, believe it or not, Tommy, is drunk driving and the incidences of drunk driving, killing, injuring people who weren't even drinking in another car, for example. That's a big issue during the holiday season. Another holiday season, particularly the younger people of our community who are going to enjoy the unique wonderfulness of the French Quarter. Staying out too late and getting separated to your friends is never going to be a good outcome, whether it's Christmas or summer. But, you know, just think a little more carefully. And the most important thing is we have the ability, when you feel a little something don't feel right, it usually means because something ain't right. So stay with your friends. Stay close to your senses. Don't get behind the wheel of a car that's driven by a drunk, or don't drive a car drunk. Those are usually the three biggest.
You know, I always like to pick your brain about different things, and I was watching an old movie, and it had a little thing that came on, a little filler, I guess, he used to run between films. It was made in 1942, and it was some either police chief or actor playing a police chief, and he was talking about juvenile crime. And I just thought about you when I saw this, because this was back in the 40s, and they said most juvenile crime is unplanned. It's just opportunity. And I was just wondering how today's juvenile crime compares with then.
Well, first off, I thought those old videos of me had been taken care of. You know, I've had several surgeries. I don't look the same as I did in 1942.
You look better, which is odd, which is a tribute to the surgery. You should be proud of that, because you were a young man when I saw you on this video. But now you look even better. So all the good for you, Chief. Congratulations.
Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
It is crazy.
There's a lot of sociological theories of crime. The one that I think makes the most sense from my experience as a police officer is something called routine activities. You assume there's a motivated offender. You assume there's a suitable target. And you assume there's a lack of a capable guardian. And when those three things come together, a crime can happen. So if a juvenile is motivated to quit, here's how I'd make it to that analogy. If a juvenile is walking around motivated to commit crime, it could happen spontaneously, but they've got to find something they want, and they got to look to see if nobody's there to watch. If those three things come together, you generally have a crime. And now there's a bunch of other sociologists who have a lot of different views on how crime gets created. But as a cop in the street for four decades, I think that one makes a sense. I made my mind up, I'm going to do something. I'm looking for what I want to get, and I'm looking to see if anybody's watching me. That makes the most sense to me. And that can happen with a juvenile in the split of in the blink of an eye, and an intended criminal within a blink of an eye.
All right, let me take a break. We come back and we'll talk about violent crime decreasing in 2025, looking ahead to the big events we got planned and likelihood that it's sustainable into the new year. Ronald Surpass, our guest, 822 Traffic Now, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Ronald Surpass, who always joins us on Wednesday morning to talk about crime. Chief, when it comes to the drop in murders, violent crime in 2024, is it sustainable going into 2025, and what has to be done?
Well, let's hope it is. 2024 has been a good year. There's a lot of reasons to be happy. There's fewer people been killed, fewer people been robbed, raped, shot. Those are all wonderful signs. 25 is going to be busy. They're going to do the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras back-to-back. We did that in 2013 when I was here. If you remember, 1 week of Mardi Gras, 1 week of Super Bowl, 1 week of Mardi Gras. The police department's got experience. They've practiced that before. I hope into the 25 year that they hire somebody, not me. I hope they bring in some experts who really can help them figure out what is the correct number of officers to answer the radio with efficiency and effectiveness and timeliness, and to investigate crimes with the same level of scientific analysis. We do this all over the country, Tommy, because departments have to confront. We're never going to be as big as we used to be. Just times are changing. It's just the way it is. So in 25, I would hope that the department would do something like that so the community can have a fact-based, science-based understanding of what the number of officers need to be to continue to build on this success. 24 is a good year.
One thing else I wanted to ask you about, I saw the story at NOLA.com about NOPD homicide detective of all last names, Fife. I can only imagine the grief that this poor man went through throughout his career.
Barney.
Yeah, homicide detective James Fife, but he's got, man, like a solve rate as opposed to a clearance rate. And explain the difference, and what is it, Chief, in your opinion, that makes a great homicide detective?
Three things. A solve rate just means you've identified somebody and you may have a warrant, but that doesn't count as a cleared rate. A cleared is someone has been arrested or couldn't be arrested. So the only data point the government captured is the clear rate. Departments might do solve. The quintessential homicide detective in my mind and working in three different states in over 40 years is the person you could never pick out of a crowd. They're very self-assured. They don't have bombastic personalities. They don't have all this javive. They're just really smart, patient, almost obsessive-compulsive personalities, like a pilot, right? You don't ever want to get on a plane where the pilot's not going over the checklist every single time because there's no room for error. Best homicide detectives I've ever had, and we recommend this in practice, they have checklists to make sure they didn't forget anything. They look at people as innocent until they can prove them guilty. Columbo used to look at people as guilty, and he would try to prove them guilty. Remember the old Columbo show, right? He knew in the first scene who did it. That is an example of the worst kind of detective. The detective who doesn't assume who it is and finds their way to him is the best detective.
He's got to be, I would think, or she's got to be somebody that's willing to admit if they're wrong, and then
absolutely,
almost like scientific method, prove it to themselves, make sure it stands up.
Very true. And think, I'm not making light about this checklist idea. Mm-hmm. We looked at the 10 biggest cities in America and their homicide and non-fatal shooting practices. And one of the highest reliable factors of a higher clearance rate, an arrest rate, was checklists and supervisors managing detectives as opposed to being friends and sitting around the bullpen talking about what they thought they knew. No, I'm the boss. You're not. Come in. You've got five murder cases here. I notice on none of these, you've done none of the work you said you were going to do because the checklist hasn't been completed. It sounds too fundamental, but sometimes the most fundamental things are the things that are the most successful. That's why they're fundamental.
We always talk about, you know, to get an experienced officer, how long does it take to develop a really good homicide detective?
I'd say probably 100 cases. Uh-huh. By the time they get through 100 cases, they're going to see the different types. You know, some cases you'll never solve, unfortunately. Some cases are essentially the offender is, you know, standing by a tree with a note from God. That's the guy who did it. So there's going to be these variations of cases. Some involve multiple perpetrators or multiple victims. So after about 100, I think, is when you start seeing detectives who are very seasoned and know some of the ups and downs. And then secondly, let's not forget, one of my son-in-laws was a homicide detective and did a tremendous job. My other son-in-law is a digital forensics detective. Today's digital forensics detectives, the ones that look at car infotainment systems, digital forensics on cell phones, are my era's DNA. These cases that these detectives are making with equipment that people use that they can turn over to an accomplished homicide detective are helping us solve murders, robberies, homicides, sexual assaults in a way that we'd never done it before. So let's keep thinking. It's not just the homicide detective always. When you have a digital forensics unit that's well stood up, Ms. Pat Taylor gave us the money for that in 2011 when I was chief. That entire digital forensics thing in New Orleans was paid by donations of Ms. Pat Taylor. Those cases bring hard, solid evidence that's very difficult to overcome, and you don't need as many witness statements because in our city, Tommy, and in other cities in the country, it's true. There are people who see murders, but they are so afraid for their own life or retaliation of the murderer that they won't talk. So we need to find underways. So DNA, digital forensics, fingerprint analysis, license plate readers, these all make homicide detectives stronger because they have more questions to ask when the detective in the digital unit says, hey, did you know Tommy's phone connected to the infotainment center on his car when he was 20 feet away from it when he said he was on the other side of the river and the car was in the east? Those are the kind of leads that detectives can turn into activity to determine truth or not truth.
Chief, I appreciate you. I appreciate picking your brain. Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas. It's 8:33. We're 3 minutes late, but it's Christmas Eve. We'll all live. Back in a flash, WWL. 8:46, 14 till 9, Christmas Eve. You got that right, especially if home happens to be New Orleans, right? And with that, we're joined by Kelly Schultz, Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Relations for New Orleans & Company. How you doing, Kelly Schultz? Merry Christmas to you and your daughter.
Merry Christmas, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. You got your Christmas shopping done or not?
Christmas shopping is done, yes. I am done. Everything is wrapped and ready to go.
How old is your daughter now, may I ask?
She is 16.
Ooh. I'd like to know what's on that tree. I bet you got some nice stuff for her.
Yeah, she's going to have a good Christmas. So
good for her. Tell me about New Orleans. Are we going to have a good Christmas? What is there to do? Let's start before we look back at the year and ahead of the year. About Christmas Day tomorrow, I was looking at the New Orleans & Company restaurants open for the holidays. Not that many, really, huh?
Well, you know, a lot of places that are open, the restaurants that are open on Christmas Day, have been booked for a long time.
Ah.
A lot of people have a family tradition of Christmas Eve or Christmas Day going out to one of the iconic New Orleans restaurants. I was talking to someone at one of those restaurants a couple of weeks ago, and they said that they were just already booked solid with family gatherings and holiday parties and things like that. So, but if you can't get that reservation, there are still lots of other things to do actually on Christmas Day, like the NOLA Christmas Fest at the Montreal Convention Center, for example. Mm-hmm. And there's also Celebration in the Oaks at City Park.
Now, Waffle House is open, I see on your list here. So that's, right? I mean, worst comes to worst.
That's right. No, there's a lot of things to do in the city. You know, we're still in the midst of Holidays New Orleans Style, which is our 40th anniversary that we celebrate the entire month. And that includes the Réveillon dinners at our restaurants. It includes the Papa Noel hotel rates throughout the city. Of course, we had the caroling in Jackson Square. There's great shopping that will continue through the end of the year. A lot of things as part of Holidays New Orleans Style that we've been doing this now for 40 years, and it's still going strong. And that's, you know, we market that to visitors, obviously, but it's also just a good reminder for all of us who live and work here what a great time of year this is to be a New Orleanian.
Tell me about some of the distinctions that the city received in 2024.
We, you know, looking back at 2024, we had a pretty good year for tourism, which, as you know, is our most important industry. And we won a lot of awards and honors. And these things, you know, really do matter because visitors look at this as a way to choose in a very competitive marketplace where they're going to maybe plan their trip or where they may wish to, you know, bring a convention or event. So looking back, you know, Good Housekeeping named New Orleans one of the four must-see cities for family travel. USA Today honored us as the most walkable city. Condé Nast Traveler named us one of the best places to go for New Year's Eve. We received several kind of world's best awards. So Travel and Leisure, Top Cities in the U.S., TripAdvisor, Best Food Destination for the second year in a row, and then also Time Out magazine named us one of the best cities in the world to visit. And that was just 2024. And my favorite, Tommy, is Travel and Leisure magazine named New Orleans one of the best places to go in the month of August.
Really?
Yes, we actually hosted this reporter and brought her in, and her takeaway was that there are a lot of great things to do in New Orleans, even in the extreme heat, because of things like the culinary restaurant promotion and museum month and all of our indoor air-conditioned activities. She named us one of the best places to visit in August. So, and we're not even in the new year yet, and we've already won two new honors for New Orleans about 2025 as a top place to visit as well.
The August thing was really about my birthday on the 11th, was it not?
That's right. Okay, we did it for you.
I thought so. I thought it was, you know, people say, well, what are we going to do in New Orleans in August? Well, you know, it is Tommy's birthday on the 11th, and all of a sudden people start showing up. You know, I was going to ask you, as big as the Taylor Swift concert, well, the Eras tour, I can't say concert, the Taylor Swift phenomenon was, man, coming off the heels of that. Now, is there anything as big coming to New Orleans? Well, yeah, I think there is. Tell me about the preps for the Super Bowl.
Yes, preparations for the Super Bowl have been well underway for years, and we're coming down to the final stretch. You know, this is really a remarkable, if you think about what it takes to host and execute and win a Super Bowl, it's really incredible. And New Orleans is now going to be doing it for the 11th time. February 9th will be our 11th time hosting Super Bowl. It'll be Super Bowl 59. No other city has done that except for Miami. So we're really excited that it's all coming together. I know people can see all of the construction and improvements that are going on around the city to get ready for the big game. But, you know, again, these improvements are being made for the Super Bowl. But as people who live and work here, we're going to get to live and experience these benefits for many years to come.
Who do we thank most for this? Who do we count on, some unsung heroes, as we count our blessings, Kelly Schultz?
For the Super Bowl?
No, well, for everything. For all the convention business in the city and the tourism business, and maybe some people that make it work, the oil that makes the machinery run, if you will.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people at New Orleans and Company who work hard to make this industry run, and all of our partners. But I'll tell you, Tommy, I think the most special thing about New Orleans and what visitors remember are our people. They remember the friendliness of our people. They remember that everyone has a story. Everyone wants to take good care of you, even if you don't work in the hospitality industry. Our nature here is to, you know, let me cook for you, or let me have you try some of my gumbo, or, you know, come be part of this tradition that we celebrate here in New Orleans. So I think, you know, certainly every person who works in hospitality, whether you are the manager of a hotel, or you're a bartender or a tour guide, or driving a taxi or an Uber, these people are the front line, and they really do make a good impression. And that is what we hear more than anything else out of all of our great food and music and culture and architecture. The one thing we consistently hear about what draws people back to New Orleans are our people and our spirit.
Well, you know me, Kelly. I'm just an all-around nice guy. No, but I do make it my point. If I'll see somebody walking around the CBD and they seem a bit confused, I approach them gently. And, you know, it's like, anything I can help you find or anything? Because, and I think the point I'm trying to make is that the residents, the cab drivers, the person that opens the door at the hotel, the people that make the beds, whatever it is, they are, in essence, the face of the city, right?
That is exactly right. I mean, and there are, you know, about 80,000 people in our region that have jobs in the hospitality industry, and that includes all levels. It includes careers. You know, this is something that many people do for decades and years, and it's a really respected profession. You know, I was at Antoine's the other day, and you meet servers who work there who have been there. You know, their father worked there, their grandfather worked there. You know, one gentleman, his daughter now is working with him. So it's just really a beautiful thing to see how seriously we take hospitality and how genuine we are. You know, when you see that visitor in the warehouse district and you offer them assistance, that's genuine. That you're not just doing that, you know, to be phony. It's a true genuine hospitality, and our visitors feel that. And I think, you know, throughout all of these awards and events and big things that we're doing, I think our people really do stand out the most.
Thank you, Kelly. God bless y'all. Merry Christmas to you and your beautiful daughter, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thanks, Tommy. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. 855 traffic now, WWL.